Vem magalenha rojão, traz a lenha pro fogão, vem fazer armação. Hoje é um dia de sol, alegria de coió, é curtir o verão.
Vem magalenha rojão, traz a lenha pro fogão, vem fazer armação. Hoje é um dia de sol, alegria de coió, é curtir o verão.
Carlinhos Brown, singer, percussionist, producer, activist, band leader, and cultural ambassador from and of Salvador Bahia, with one of my all-time favorites, Magalena. This song, with Carlinhos Brown's vocals, was the second track on fellow Brazilian Sergio Mendes's 1992 album, Brasileiro. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it is Free Your Mind Friday. What are you freeing your mind of today? It's the best way, by the way, to get even with the system, which is to free up your mind and to take control of the information that you are operating with, to get as much information as possible that isn't from just one source, but to, you know, broaden the view and to take a critical look at everything that you're working with to see whether it is giving you the opportunity to see things in proper perspective. So, you know the drill. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. And let's get this started. I'm particularly interested in us having conversations. Don't just, you know, get on and say a piece and goodbye. We want the opportunity to interact with each other. And we want the opportunity for you to have a conversation with each other. So with that in mind, we'll start off with Marie from Baltimore.
Noon, Eutrice. I'm afraid that I'm one of those that can't talk too long because I have to go someplace. But a friend of mine and I, we were listening to your program yesterday, and we are quite upset what happened to you. And we would like to know the day or the year that you were accosted by the police, please.
Well, the thing is, I don't know what was aired yesterday. I had a malfunction on my end. It was a technical problem that I could not resolve in time for the program to know what happened. But what was the program that aired?
About you being accosted by the police. They were looking for a stolen car or something like that, and you were asked by the policeman who you were and everything like that, and you were quite upset, and this policeman was dangling his gun or something.
I did have a very unusual and upsetting encounter with police some time ago. But, you know, these things, these experiences, I think, are meant to, they test you. I think that was the point of it as well. You get tested every day, and you shouldn't think of yourself as being so unusual and extraordinary that you shouldn't. We get these things happening to us every single day.
Yes.
And so you're called upon in a situation like that, that could go really fatal, really fast. You have to just calm yourself down in the moment. In the moment, you calm yourself down and you focus on, what you can do in the moment to get the situation somewhat under control. It was a simple thing I was going to do, which was to water my friend's plants. She was going away. It was a holiday weekend. She was going to go away. And I, too, was going to go away. But she asked me, would I please take care of her plants? And that was what I was in the process of doing. I went to, I used a side street and thought I was quite safe. I was driving safely and everything. And then I found myself surrounded by bunches of cops. I mean, at least 4 carloads of cops. And hovering over me, a helicopter.
God.
And that was jarring enough. But what really, really got me was there was one officer in particular. He was an Asian cop. And he's pointing his gun directly at me. And his hand was shaking, visibly shaking. And all I could think of was that at any minute, because he was so nervous, any minute that gun could have gone off and I would be dead. What also saved me was I heard the police officer say, "Miss Leed, is that you?" I said, "Yeah." And then he calmed everybody down and he told everybody to kind of stand down a bit because they realized that they were responding with such force to something that didn't require it. I don't know what the signals were that they got that they needed to be responding to me with such force, but it was the closest I came to, having to losing my life in a situation where it was completely unnecessary. And I needed more than anything else, I needed to be calm. I needed to be calm. Now, I can't account for myself after this whole thing was over. I can't account for, my sanity and my state of mind afterwards because I came very, very close. It was a very close shave that night.
So this happened in the 2000s, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can only say what you said earlier, that this is happening to a lot of people, and they need to be educated in what to do, including myself. But have somebody protect you. Communicate with a trustworthy person. That's all I have to say. Utrice, take care.
Bye-bye. Really, the most important thing, if you can, it's easy to say, but in the thick of a moment, I didn't plan on it. It just came to me that I should just be calm. Just be calm. Don't freak out, because it would have been very easy to do, and that would have precipitated a reaction that I didn't need from the cops. Just be calm. Thanks, Marie, for your call. Jeff from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Okay, Jeff. How are you?
All right. Yeah, I'm groovy. I'm groovy. Can't complain. I want to make a couple of statements. One, I never got the chance to talk about Bill Cosby, but I would say that Bill Cosby did not have a fair trial because the jury pool was tainted far before he went to trial. And that was done with the video on social media that was spread around. And then with Kanye West, when he said the thing about people who wanted to be slaves, in part, he is telling the truth. I think Harriet Tubman says some things about she could free some more people if they had known, you know, they were slaves or, you know, they had chosen to go. That's why a lot of people, you know, slaves had decided to, and it wasn't a thing where they were pleased with being slaves, but I think that they just they opted to be slaves rather than to take a chance on being free. And about some of these social issues, and one of the things I think that we need to do with these police, with the police and harassment, is create a nationwide civilian review board. Now, whether we do this through the NAACP or through churches, but we should have a way that we could report officers, badge numbers, towns and locations, and keep a record. And with that record, if there's an officer that has a excess amount of stops and or rude behavior towards minorities or women or whoever, that they can now, we now have a record of it. And we can either pursue some type of prosecution or do some type of protest, you know, not to shop in the town or to make it known. But we need an apparatus like that. I think the officers also need an apparatus like that because, you know, they have that code of blue silence that they won't report other officers. Understandably, because, you know, when back in the 80s in New York, friendly fire incidences were always white officers shooting black officers. So if you report somebody, chances are you could get taken out by accident. So, you know, like I said, we can have a couple of things like that. But I wanted to also talk about the Bill calls from New York. Will from New York. And he said, you know, we need to abandon the democratic system. But I don't think so. I think we need to create a third, maybe fourth party that is viable, and use them as independents and do what they do in Europe, create alliances so that, you know, one party is not the dominant, two parties are not the dominant, but there can be three parties on one side of an issue. Maybe, you know, they don't agree with some things on another issue, but you create alliances to get things done. And that kind of diversity kind of dissipates the power between the two current parties that are in charge, and it's better for the people. Getting into unions is also another way to wield some political power. But also, then, like I said, in the black community, when we face these things that they're that you know plague us, because what you went through was terrorism. And it's terrorism on a wide scale, because we get to watch it on, we get to watch these shootings on social media. And that's terroristic to, you know, mothers who have to be concerned about their sons going out. It's terroristic to the sons and fathers who have to go out and, you know, once they pass a police car, you know, your body goes through changes. You know, it's epigenetic engineering there because, you know, that fear creates certain chemicals in the body and, you know, it tends to produce sickness and so on and so forth, high blood pressure and diabetes and all those type of things that are, you know, associated with stress. And, you know, we are under this terrorist state, so we need a way to combat it, you know.
Well, let's deal with what you're offering today. With regard to the Bill Cosby trial, we're not done with the Bill Cosby trial. We only started looking at it from the point of view of the basic question, did he get a fair trial? And there's a lot that goes into the answer. And you have concluded that he did not get a free trial. And yet, Do you know why you come to that conclusion?
Yes, because
jury pool was tainted.
Yes, because before they went to trial, there was a comedian who, in his show, and you check out that he's a black comedian, which gives him sort of credibility about Bill Cosby. It's just like if I were to combat Dr. Gary Noel, I would use another doctor to come to, you know, to confront his point of views. And what they did was they used him. They put that around social media. Then you had the prosecution come out and say, you know, the prosecutor come out and say, I'm going to get Bill Cosby for these crimes. That was, you know, so the video occurs to sway public opinion far before there's even those charges that were brought.
I got the sense, though, I did not get the sense that the comedian Hannibal Buress, who made this remark, an offhand remark during one of his stand-up routines, that Bill Cosby raped women. But I don't get the sense that that was the principal reason that the jury pool was tainted.
No, well, you had other, you know, there were other things. And I think this was not just with Hannibal. Hannibal gave some credibility because of his status and occupation. And then you had the other things that were going on as far as in the, you know, other stuff leaked out and so on and so forth. And, you know, the way the prosecution was done, where he was prosecuted. And at the time, I even think that Harvey Weinstein was part of the equation, and that they had to sacrifice him in order to create the Me Too. Or that kind of disgust about it, because it's, I mean, you think about it, Ashton Kutcher, all these other guys, all these other stars had gone to Congress to protest and talk about the child sex abuse in Hollywood, and nothing has ever been said about that. Now they went before Congress to testify.
I'm with you on the idea that there were many factors that contributed to a possible prejudice on the part, not just of the jurors, but of the public as a whole. And no question, these factors helped to frame the environment of the case. But they're not just the only factors. We have to look at prosecutorial misconduct. We have to look at judicial misconduct. We have to look at a number of things, including the possibility that his lawyers may have slipped up as well in his defense in some key areas. So we'll get to that. But I appreciate your points of view today. Thank you so much for calling in.
Can I make one more point?
Sure.
Something good can come out of it. When we watched O.J. Simpson and the blood evidence that he did with the DNA, later on, 23 prisoners on death row in Michigan were freed because of DNA evidence. They learned how to take that test. In this situation, you had a person who had a contract with another, paid them money for the silence. Can we now use this technique for when people make that negotiation when a cop kills a young black man and the family settles? Can we now use the Bill Cosby as a precedent to say we can go back and now prosecute these people even though we received a settlement?
Well, it is a complicated question, but it is also a valid question, and we need to talk a bit more about it. You know, when these cases occur, I believe that, you know, we take our time. It's not going anywhere. We'll have more than enough time to disassemble all the parts of this case. But the most important thing I wanted to do was to start jiggling people's minds about the possibility that what we witnessed in open view was other than a fair trial. Yes. It is possible. And we'll get into the details in the near future. This case requires a lot of analysis, but sometimes, you know, you can't handle all the things at the same time. You can't handle all the bits and pieces at the same time. And it still continues to evolve, by the way. Thank you so much for your call.
You're welcome.
Harvey from Berkeley, you're on the air.
Hello, wonderful Eutrice.
Hey, Harvey. Wonderful, well, Harvey.
Well, today I'd like to share some thoughts with you and your vast audience about life and the universe, and I'd love to hear your impression and interact with you about these thoughts. So not only does life work through matter, any matter, it doesn't matter. Life is combined with both consciousness and intelligence. It's a kind of a holy trinity, and it's one for all and all for one. And all three components, life, consciousness, and intelligence, are necessary to sustain each other. If, for instance, consciousness or intelligence was switched off, our living universe as we know it would cease to be. Our universe is a self-assembling form of life. And there's no central point of life, consciousness, or intelligence in the universe. It's everywhere all the time. We are alive. The Earth is alive. The Sun is alive. The universe is alive. The fact that atoms have a proton-neutron center with electrons spinning in their orbital shell around the atom center implies a collective form of universal consciousness and intelligence. And it would be, and in the world of quantum mechanics, which is a study of the smallest particles in the universe, like electrons and protons of light, when two or more electrons are entangled with each other and then separated across the room or across the universe, they are still entangled, which means that when you flip the polarity on one of the electrons, the other electrons will instantaneously flip the other way, no matter how far away. How far away from their entangled partners they are. So entanglement, no matter the distance, implies intelligence and implies consciousness. And I say everything is connected, and we are one in the universe.
Well, all right. I say amen to that.
All right.
Thank you. Willie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, my dear, beloved sister. And
hello, Willie.
And my PRN family. Eutrice, Harvey usually puts out some very good information. But this time, I have no clue to what he's saying. And I know that there are people that understand what he's saying, but it's way beyond me. That's all. You know, Eutrice, I would love to for us to have for me for me to.
Wait a minute. Before you go on, this is in relation to what Harvey just offered.
Yes.
You don't understand it?
Well, I have no clue. That's why I'm not too bright.
No, it's not about being bright. What he's viewing the world in a whole different way. As a collection of particles, if you will, from a quantum physics. This is the whole point of quantum physics, that you interpret the world and the reality of the world in an entirely different way. You see how things are related to each other, how when something happens in one place, it affects people in another place. It's very complicated in that sense, when you're talking about it in a strictly scientific sense. But really, it's a very simple idea and not a new idea. There are many, many religious groups and religious leaders and people who live in the world at a whole different plane, different from you and I, who see the world exactly like that. How, in one way or the other, we are all entangled
connected
with each other.
Yeah, that's what I understand very clearly. But you know,
well, you and me, we're good, because when it comes to getting into quantum physics, you'll have to check me out. It's over my head, but the concept I get quite well.
This is why PRN is so important. And WBI, even though it has been taken by them two people. I remember, you know when they came after you, simply because you were exercising the power of the brain and speech, that they couldn't stand that. Anyway, what I wanted to thank you for was Winnie Mandela. You did a program on Winnie and Martin. That would those two programs, they were just unbelievable. Just all of your programs are just unbelievable. But those two, it was really a blessing. And I'd like to say that people, the family, there are a lot of us that don't understand the phones that we have, but you could always go back and listen to go to the archive, because I just can't understand why people would really watch television. I just can't understand that, because for me, it's an insult.
You can't understand why people watch TV.
When I go into my friend's house, as soon as I walk in, they turn it off. Because I just jump on the table.
So it's not to offend you?
I feel very, very offended by, the stuff they're telling us. Because number one, you know it's lies. That's number one. And you know they're insulting your intelligence. This is why I work so hard, in my own way, to promote PRN. Because that's we could shut them down. We could shut the media down. And there are many people within the so-called mainstream. I don't know what's mean about that. But if we had enough money, many, many of those journalists, they would come over to PRN. But we have to finance it. You see what I'm saying? Because they have to pay bills, and there are certain things that they cannot touch on. They cannot reveal the truth on. But we could shut them down and Hollywood. People are surprised about what's going on in Hollywood. It's a cesspool. Period. And the kind of things that they're doing in Hollywood with pedophilia and homosexual, I mean, this kind of satanism, that's going on in that place. That's a seat of Satan.
But just be aware at the risk of indicting the entire industry. You have to hold out the possibility that what we know isn't all that is to be known. There are other sides of these things as well. There are people who have been working quietly in all these areas. They are outnumbered, I admit. It appears that they can't get ahead in terms of a kind of ethic in an industry. It's everywhere. It's in the White House. Whoever would have thought that the President of the United States, okay, that office could be dragged down to this level that Trump has it. We never thought about that. We just can't imagine. So this happens in almost all institutions. You'll find aspects of the institutions that have been allowed to run amok. They do what they want to do. They are staffed with people, the wrong people. The worst possible, that's what is called a cacistocracy. Government by the worst elements of society. So it's nothing new.
No, wait.
A Greek origin. So back in the old ancient days of Greece, they had this problem of having the worst people govern. So this is nothing new.
But
what do you think we are called to do? I mean, it's one thing to say, okay, this industry is corrupt. That industry is corrupt. The other industry is corrupt. What is the point of pronouncing that they are corrupt if we have little to show for the opposite side of the argument.
Well, Yatrice, listen, this is one of the reasons why I have said that black people shouldn't be allowed to vote, simply because we've been made too foolish. Now, look at the position. You did a program on that movie, Black Panther.
Yes.
The damage that they have done, and we finance it. The great historians that we have, you throw them aside, and those coming behind them, like Gerald Horn, the kind of work they will have to do because of some fictitious stories, some freaks made up the worst elements of society. Now, you know, you see, you mentioned the White House. You know, Donald Trump had to be, because Donald Trump is the best president the United States has had for black people and for the world to see exactly what America is. Because he's not doing anything any one of them haven't done. He's just making it visible for the whole world to see what America is. That's it.
But that isn't just it. I mean, we live in an integrated world. By that I mean, there are so many parts, so many moving parts to this thing called our society. There are so many moving parts to it. So the challenge that some people have, and that's, I'm referring to, not everybody has the same challenge. I've said time and again that in our society, as we understand it, as a society, we may have some experiences in common, but that doesn't mean we have a common history. And this is part of the gigantic picture that we're dealing with every single day. I have no reason to be afraid to drive down a side street and go water my friend's plants. I was just talking about this earlier in the program. Why should I expect to be surrounded by police and a helicopter shining light down on me and all these armed cops for what I don't know? It turns out, of course, then when we unraveled everything, they were way out of line. They were very wrong in the way I was treated. But that doesn't mean that I negate the way I was treated. See, I have to expect, given the history of this country, I have to expect at some point or the other, I will come up against a system that does not mean me well. And I will have to be prepared, which is why I say you have to be calm. That's my technique, is just be calm and get through the situation. So what I'm saying, Willie, is that our society is very complex. And depending on your particular history or the history of your group, if you will, you necessarily have to navigate the society in a very particular way. You know?
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, this is nothing new.
Yeah, we know that. But look how many people have been killed because it's nothing new. Because they don't understand, really, in a situation, what they're dealing with. It was immediately clear to me I was overpowered, I was alone. I was surrounded by a sea of cops. And I'm looking directly at one cop in particular who was so terrified. That gun could have gone off at any time. I have to, on top of the fact that I am targeted, I have to try in my own way to bring some kind of calm to a situation. I can't lose my head. And the great thing was that in the middle of all this, I had one black officer who recognized me. And he defused the whole thing. It ended up, we all ended up at the central booking. And there's where we had to unravel a whole bunch of knots. But in the immediate situation, I was outnumbered. I was totally without any kind of reinforcement or help. I was isolated. They had all the power and I had none. And I could have been killed just because somebody was nervous. So you have to take these things into consideration. You can't predict how and when you will react because you don't know. This is life. We have a very complex social situation in the United States. And everywhere that people are living under the strength, the brute force and brute strength of an organized system. That's what they're supposed to do. They are the regulators of society. They don't deserve to be, and they shouldn't be. But they are. And part of what we have to learn is how to navigate. Insofar as we recognize universally, whether it's Bill Cosby or Utrice Lead or you, Lily, we have no way of overcoming in a particular instance. We have no way of overcoming these obstacles that we face. But we should work toward it.
Hello? Hello?
I'm listening.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what happened. Yeah, but as I was saying that, please, Utrice, just leave that alone. That is Minister Farrakhan's job. He was born for that. And that for this day and that time to deal with them, because I know who these people are. You know, you imagine the United States has been taken without firing one shot. So you know who we're dealing with. You could be a white supremacist. You could be a neo-Nazi. All you want to be. You're going to war. And your children are going to die. And our children are not. And we're going to make money. That's the bottom line. The central bankers, they're the ones that want the war because they make their money. And who are these people?
But here it is. We really have to look at the situation and compartmentalize things. But not to the degree that we say, okay, all cops are bad. I could have taken that position. But I never take that position. Because I know personally, I've been in situations personally where were it not for black cops, there would be a lot of carnage. So I don't condemn black cops. I don't condemn cops across the board. You can't do that. Because I have seen... many instances in which if the police were not there, the situation would have been irretrievably fatal. I know that. So we have to develop
case-by-case basis, in a way. We understand what history shows us. We see the statistics. We understand it very well. Like today, we are now hearing that there are at least 10 people shot dead at the Santa Fe High School in Texas.
Yeah.
All right. Does that mean that everybody is shooting up schools? No. We're seeing a trend developing, and we have to figure out why it's happening, how to prevent it and cope with it and deal with it. But that's not my area of expertise. You have to look to people who do this, who are trained to do this, to provide some guidance on how best to cope with this growing problem. And if we operate, and I could understand and appreciate how, depending on your own experience, either individually or as a member of a group, you have to customize the way you live. I get that. You have to be aware of how you're living in this society, what the society is likely to do, how you, to the best of your ability, you can navigate. That's the best you could do. But go ahead. Willie, I'm hearing you. Okay, Willie's gone. Tony from Orlando, you're on the air.
Hi, Latrice. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling in.
I just wanted to elaborate on what you were just talking with Willie. As you said, there was a shooting today in Santa Fe, Texas, about, they don't have the total numbers of fatalities just yet, but I just wanted to point out that roughly about 37 people were murdered last month in Chicago, and nobody's even talking about that. That shows you the double standard that is in this country. Same thing, just yesterday, there was a white female posing with an AK-47 in, I believe it was Kent University. And that AK-47 was not even registered under her name. It was supposedly her brother's AK-47. I'm 1,000% sure that if I posed with an AK-47 anywhere in the public in this country, I would most likely be gunned down by the police.
Okay.
That's the double standard that we have in this country.
Let me stop you here. I want to react to what it is you said so far. And this is a problem that we have to tackle. We are stuck very often in this mode of argument. If so-and-so did this, but if and was able to do it, but if I did it, it would be a whole... Well, do you know it? The point is, you're stating a known fact.
Exactly. And we know that.
But why would that be the limit of your discussion? The discussion is your discussion about really, as a black person, having exactly the same rights and privileges as a white person to do obviously stupid things? Is that the argument?
No, my argument is, I want to know, when is that person is going to be charged with illegal possession of a firearm when she admitted that it was not her firearm? That's what I want to know. You know, I want to know when are we going to make a big deal about inner city shootings just as much as school shootings?
But you know the answer. The thing I'm saying is, you know the answer.
The reason you
asked the question, why is it that people in Chicago and elsewhere around the country, why aren't they talking about the ridiculously high numbers of people being killed in Chicago? Why aren't they talking about that? As if that is the goal. That is a worthy goal. You should talk about people who are killing themselves and each other. That is the discussion we need to have. They're not talking about the killings in Chicago the way they ought to, because the community does not insist and does not affirm the rights of self-regulation. The community is out of control, and black folks need to get to understand that. Your communities are chaotic.
I agree with you 1,000%. But we have to acknowledge that in the black community, in the brown community, Latino, whatever, we are extremely offended by constructive criticism. That's one of the things that Bill Cosby was ostracized by. He was pretty much disowned by the black community, which pretty much.
And that too is a shame. And I'll tell you why it's a shame.
Yes.
We're just not operating across the board. We're just not operating with even common sense.
And if I might add, that's one of the problems that the Jewish community has as well. Like, you had someone talking. I don't know if he's of French descent or of Haitian. I'm not sure. Joubert, when he said, any one little mention that you have to criticize Israel, now that makes you an anti-Semite. Now, that right there, now you can't come to any constructive conclusion to any of the problems that community has, which is basically white supremacy in Israel is what the problem that they have. It has nothing to do with Jews versus Muslims. It's white supremacy gone rampant. It's South Africa 2.0 going on in Israel right now.
But if you don't mind me saying this, that is a cliche analysis.
Yeah, well, but the problem is,
well,
you can't
say,
have
well,
constructive
disagree
criticism.
Because it's white supremacy. No, there are many reasons. There are many reasons that black folks are not engaged the way they ought to be engaged in restoring some kind of order in their communities. When you lose that, basically they yielded, blacks have yielded their control to the unruly elements, to the criminal elements. They gave up. They say, here, it's yours. They're not in charge of their communities, and there's nothing stopping them from being in charge of their communities. Many black blocks, and I talk about it. You walk down a block littered with garbage. You don't have to ask whether the people there have any power at all. Nobody's preventing them from cleaning up the neighborhood. I went to a school in Harlem many, many years ago that had no windows, none, and no water fountains. But you tolerate it.
Yep.
You embrace the indignity with which you are forced to live. So we have to get tough with this argument. Black folks, in many cases, are perfectly capable and in charge of exercising control over their community. Will they do it? No. No. There are 500 million excuses as to why it's somebody else's job. It's the government's job. It's the police job. It's somebody else's job. The elected official's job. No, it's your job.
I agree 100%. But like I said, the minute that you say that, you're an Uncle Tom, you're trying to be white.
What? Baby, get over it. I don't care about that. What do I care what people are calling me? If I'm about something purposeful and elevating.
I agree.
So this is the point.
But I'm just stating the whole general picture is that's what we see, you know, and that's what prevents us from taking charge of our own problems. Because
I don't believe
the system is designed, we always feel that the government has to do it for us. That's the mentality. Government's got to do it. You know, government's got to be there to do this. Government's got to be there to do this. Government works for themselves.
We developed this mentality as a result of years of conditioning and exposure to the idea of our powerlessness. And therefore, we begin to believe that we ought to be powerless.
Exactly.
We don't deserve to be powerful. And a lot of what is happening and has happened in our communities have been decimated largely in part of a breakdown within it. A total breakdown. You can't caution a little child to do such and such because the mother will come and smack you silly. You can't be critical of people who decide that they're going to, you know, if 9 o'clock is considered a decent hour for people to retire, no, they want to be out there in the street till 1 o'clock. And they will tell you that if you think that, you know, we ought to have some kind of guidance about how we regulate our lives and our communities, they'll tell you that you're insane. They're entitled to be lawless. And so we have entertained varying degrees of lawlessness in our communities. When you look at the rate of homicides, nobody's coming into your community to kill you. They're on autopilot. We have to face these facts. Our schools are totally ripped apart. All of the institutions that used to serve us, including even the church, have fallen apart. And that's where we need to rebuild. We need to rebuild these institutions. Why? Because they had been, for so long, they had been life-sustaining. But we allowed people who have no appreciation for life, not even with each other, to take over. It's total lawlessness in our communities.
And that is by design.
It's not by design. I don't agree with that. Because there
that's
was
by design, Patrice. How is it that they can't track all of these firearms in our country? And there's a pushback from it, NRA. NRA does not want to have a national database where each firearm is registered.
But the NRA, here's the point. The NRA is taking care of its business, even if that business is the annihilation of our communities. They're taking care of their business. We're not.
Simply because the NRA
wants to flood a community with guns doesn't mean that the community has to be flooded with guns. One of the biggest sales of drugs is from the mob. Do you see their communities out of control? No. their criminal activity is targeted outside of their communities. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay, because there's a lot of noise. We let any and everything go in our communities. Come do what you want. We have no rules. We have no laws. We have no self-controls. Nothing.
I agree. And what needs to be happen is we have to have Sunday school kind of thing where we teach our history, where we stand in this country.
I disagree with you, because no amount of teaching your history or anything like that is going to help. What's going to help is people making up their minds that they are not supposed to be living this way as a community, and get serious about certain things. Indicate that would indicate your community has order. It doesn't take any, you don't have to go to classes for that. Pick up the trash. Clean up your block. Go look at your children's schools and see that they have the proper services that they need. Get serious about your what you're entitled to, and do not tolerate people trying to destroy your own community. That's where the destruction is happening within. Oh, well, I'm hearing the music. That means that we're out of time. Thank you so much, everyone, for contributing today. I really enjoy being with you. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Alternative Visions with Dr. Jack Rasmus. And have this great weekend. Bye-bye.